Hey friends, welcome back to Pastor's Wives Tell All. And today is the day before our book launch.
Woo-woo!
Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah! That was super country.
Thank you, I love that so much. You know what we thought would be fun the day before the book launch? We thought it'd be fun to read the book. Not the whole thing. Because you got to get that on like Audible or something.
That's so true.
But we are going to read the first chapter of our book, Pastors' Wives Tell All, Navigating Real Church Life with Honesty and Humor.
Let's go. Hi, I'm Jessica.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stephanie.
And you are listening to Pastors' Wives Tell All,
a podcast by pastors' wives for church leaders and anyone desiring to take a peek inside our glass house.
We are breaking down walls and crushing pastors' wives' stereotypes within the church.
We want pastors' wives and other ministry leaders to know that they are not alone in this. Plus, this is basically therapy for the three of us with a whole lot of dance parties. Woo, 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 woo.
Chapter 1. The pastor's wife could be tatted up too. Gasp! To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. Ralph Waldo Emerson. The three of us have matching tattoos. Yes, sirree, we do. But before we took the plunge into permanent ink, we did what any intelligent millennials would do. We polled Instagram to help us decide between two ideas we were juggling. And like any good millennial who polls Instagram followers, we went with neither. Our finickiness did not deter our social media friends from offering tons of great suggestions, however. And as the creative and sentimental tattoo ideas began flowing from our Instagram friends, so did the criticism. Why would you mark your bodies when God is against it? Shouldn't you be a better example for the people following you?
Meet Mrs. PPPW. When you are a pastor's wife, people have numerous opinions about what you should look like. Lots. And many of those opinions have no scriptural backing. But don't most of us already have a preconceived picture of the ideal pastor's wife? Picture with us Miss Perky Perfect Pastor's Wife. Let's call her Mrs. PPPW for short. Mrs. PPPW is the very definition of that good old churchy word, modest, while still appearing somewhat, but not too, trendy. Without a hint of unkempt hair, she's neatly styled and pulled together in her trendy, not trendy dress flowing down just below her kneecaps, because knees are sexy and should never be exposed. Mrs. PPPW quietly accepts demands from her husband and the church while serving with a smile in her meek and quiet spirit way. She's a pure gem. So what happens when you marry a pastor, yet you fall too sexy showing kneecaps short of the roll? Confession time. It's us. We're the ones with the scandalous kneecaps. The three of us have come to terms with the fact that we don't fit with the stereotypical pastor's wife mold, and we are perfectly fine with being quirky. Yes, we have tattoos. Yes, we dye our hair. We wear jeans with holes in them, even on Sundays. Of course, none of these outward traits encompass us entirely. God didn't place us in church ministry because we embody the ideal Mrs. PPPW, and we sure aren't flying our angel wings around on a higher spiritual plane. He called us because he prefers to use cracked and broken vessels with potential over vessels that have sat on a shelf collecting metaphorical dust for the extent of their existence. Too perfect to be touched by the observers who stand in awe of their extraordinarily impeccable outsides. A first-class vessel is great in theory, but what's the point if it never gets used? Sure, the vessels with cracks need sprucing up, but those cracks provide space for the light of Jesus to shine through. While the unblemished version is far too solid to emit even the slightest glimmer, cracks expose the light. And it is then, when our trials become blatantly obvious, that the people around us find Jesus. If their eyes were too distracted by our fancy, flawless design, they might miss him. This is the very meaning of the freeing verse in John's gospel. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. We decrease. He increases. He doesn't need us and our got it all togetherness. He wants us, quirks and all. Don't get us wrong. Sinful actions should be exposed and extracted from our hearts and lives through obedience to our Savior. But that's not what we're talking about here. Some of us have been told we're too loud, too quiet, too mundane, too much, too not enough, too fill in the blank. For so long, we've believed the lie that our personality and sense of style are mistakes. Surely God didn't mean for us to come out quite this or different. What we forget is that our God is an artist. His creativity is evident in the way he uniquely designed each of us. You might be a dynamic leader who stands out in bold wardrobe options with sassy hair and makeup. Or maybe you are into dark emo hair and pink tips and jet black as the only shade on your outfit, color wheel. And let's not forget that tatted up sleeve adorning your entire arm. Or perhaps you love dresses and pearls and play the piano with grace and ease. If those style choices reflect who you indeed are, then rock them. No single pastor's wife mold exists.
The proverbial fishbowl. For those of you who can't relate because you are wholeheartedly comfortable in your skin, we applaud you. You know who you are and never shy away from expressing the real you. But it's possible that even with all your confidence, you're still fearful of people responding negatively to your style choices. We understand the hesitation. We live in a proverbial fishbowl, but at the same time, people may not be judging us as harshly as we judge ourselves. Jenna learned this several years ago when she made the wild decision to get a nose ring. Yep, tats aren't the only strike against us. As she eased her way through the congregation for the first time after that fateful hole-in-her-nose day, fear crept into her heart and insecurity infiltrated her mind. She'd imagined all the comments and side-eye stares that would inevitably come from the more spiritual ones and had braced herself for them. Surely those more seasoned ladies would have a thing or two to say about her apparent pre-midlife crisis, which caused her to have this moment of holy weakness. But as quickly as the fearful anticipation had built, it deflated. The comments never came. The awkward stares were only in her head. Nobody thought less of her, or if they did, they kept it to themselves. Isn't this how we live too often, expecting the other shoe to drop, so to speak, when we change our outward appearance? How can we expect anyone else to drop the stereotypes if we can't nix them ourselves? If we place weighty expectations on our appearance, consciously or subconsciously, we shouldn't hope for anything different from our church family. Think about the scripture passage recounting the day the prophet Samuel anointed the boy who would be the next king of Israel. If Samuel had his way, he would have anointed Jesse's first son, Eliab, and called it a day. Eliab was an obvious choice from the outside, but our God loves to do things backward. He looks from the inside out, and why would we think it'd be any other way? He tells us to die to ourselves to live, after all. It doesn't get more backward than that. God had a different plan than Samuel did for Israel's next leader. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see the things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." 1 Samuel 16:7. And we all know who God chose for this high position of honor and leadership, the smelly, dirty shepherd boy named David. God is not as focused on our appearance as we think he is.
Legalism is the enemy. Stephanie remembers well growing up in a church culture that thrived on sermons that condemned a plethora of hair and clothing styles. If you were a woman with a short pixie cut or a man with long locks, you must be a follower of Satan himself. Wearing shorts in the summertime? What could have possibly possessed you? It couldn't be the Holy Spirit. Sadly, we're not joking. This church prioritized cleaning up the outside before they addressed the inside. Legalism was a friend to them. But the inside matters most, not our human rules or regulations about how we dress on the outside. You can be the most trendy, modest, cleaned-up Christian woman on the outside and be nothing but a rotting corpse on the inside. utterly spiritually dead, like the religious leaders in Matthew. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. There is a reason it seems like our westernized churches are filled with members playing church instead of truly living out the gospel. Stephanie will always remember a lesson her friend Brittany unwittingly taught her. One Sunday morning, as Brittany scurried around her home, wrangling three children toward the door and into the car to head to church, her daughter's frustration halted her efforts. Whining escalated into a mini meltdown over what to wear to church. This perceptive little girl had noticed that the other girls her age wore adorable smocked frocks to church. You aren't Southern unless you embrace all the ox. She was in a tizzy over what her friends would think about her not-so-ocked dress and did not look forward to making a church appearance without an outfit as cute as theirs. Brittany knew church outfits were not at the top of Jesus' priority list, so she immediately changed her own clothes. She tore off her dressy ensemble, pulled on a simple pair of jeans and a t-shirt, and told her daughter to do the same. She ignored all the makeup and threw her hair back into a ponytail. She then bent down, peered into her daughter's eyes, and spoke words of truth to her. What we look like on the outside is not what's important. What matters is a heart of worship, focusing on the object of worship, Jesus. God isn't impressed with our outward displays of righteousness. He is concerned with our heart's posture, period. Stephanie's sweet friend recognized this truth and exemplified it through her actions. We can do the same in the ministry God has given us.
Hey friend, we will get right back to our episode, but we want to take a moment and thank our patrons. You guys keep our podcast going.
If you are not a patron and you would like to consider donating to our podcast ministry, we would be so grateful, and we might even do a happy dance.
When you become a patron, you get perks like being the first to hear about special info and retreats. You get bonus episodes, monthly devotionals, lock screens, and more.
Plus, we have added a new $1 tier for those who believe in us and what we're doing, just because you love us.
So head on over to our show notes and click on the Patreon link to learn more. Now let's get back to our episode.
Why moderation is the key. Like an onion, this conversation on outward appearance has layers. We understand that in everything, there should be a balance. Just because our outward appearance is not our focus does not mean we should flaunt our freedom. The Bible is clear. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Galatians 5:13. Jessica runs a nonprofit called Kamoi Missions that serves the people of Rwanda. Each time she flies overseas to spend time with these people, she packs different clothes than she would for travel stateside. Yes, Jessica is fiery and loves a comfy pair of leggings or cute jeans with holes in the knees. But she also knows that Rwandan culture is very different from the culture of South Alabama. So she alters her outward appearance accordingly, setting aside her graphic t-shirts and holy jeans for flowing skirts with splashes of bright color to honor the culture of Rwandan people. Humility is key. We are who we are, and we want our personalities to be reflected on the outside, but we can be who we are while still honoring a few preferences of differing cultures. If you serve people in a lower income neighborhood than your own, dressing in designer high heels and fancy pantsuits may not be the best choice for your Sunday service. Likewise, if you serve in a church where every woman in the congregation wears dresses to services, leggings aren't a viable option. Moderation, moderation, moderation in everything. You be you, boo, has become our modern day war cry. But if we go too far down the rabbit hole of that mantra, we might forget the command to die to ourselves. It's a tricky balance. Yes, display the real you. Wear what fits the personality God gave you. Get the cute tattoo. but keep it humble, because pride will erode ministries like cancer. Don't be the church leader who likes to make a point rather than make disciples of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, our identity is not tied to how we present ourselves on the outside. The inside will eventually outshine all our veneers. And if we have been made new in Christ, He is our identity. We have the head knowledge of this truth, but sometimes we need more heart knowledge. If your heart has forgotten, let's take a trip down Scripture Lane, shall we? My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do good things he planned for us long ago, Ephesians 2:10. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Psalms 139:14. Our Father created us, died for us, saved us, and sustains us. He is everything we need and always will be. When Christ is our identity, everything else falls away. The pressure to live up to a false narrative of what a pastor's wife should look like, the suffocating legalistic guidelines tradition has placed upon us, the lie that our personality should be under lock and key so as to not draw too much attention to ourselves, the fear of our outward appearance not being good enough for our church people. It's not all about us. In every possible way, it is all about Him. Christ is enough. And He is making us enough.
The narcissistic pastor's wife. As podcasters and pastor's wives, we've heard our fair share of strange stories from pastor's wives and about pastor's wives. One story a friend on social media shared about her pastor's wife had us bowing our heads in vicarious embarrassment. This pastor's wife had an assistant who stuck to her side on Sundays, keeping her water bottle filled and tissues on hand. And when it came time for the service to begin, the pastor's wife positioned herself on the platform for everyone to see, her attitude and actions totally out of sync with the church's culture. In her eyes, being a pastor's wife equaled royalty. Narcissism is an epidemic that has run rampant among clergy for years. We don't like to admit it, but it's true. Church hurt, spiritual abuse, and other destructive fruits of narcissism aren't just buzzwords we toss around on social media. And we will talk about that in a later chapter. They are a virus attacking the church from every direction, and pastors' wives aren't immune to the destruction. We need to check our hearts. Let's not be the ones whose actions shout, "I don't care what you think. I'll wear what I want to wear, do what I want to do, and pierce what I want to pierce, and you can't do a thing about it." Instead, we can consider the culture of the community God has called us to serve and stay humble in our decisions. We know it's unhealthy for a church to dictate what a pastor's wife should wear. That should be a decision she and her husband make in the privacy of their own home. But we can choose to open our eyes to our church's atmosphere and be humble enough to make respectful choices. Balance is key. Our outward appearance should never be our primary concern. Our willingness to learn, seek humility, and love our neighbors well is what matters in the long run. To sum it all up, love God, love people, get the tattoo.
We hope you enjoyed the first chapter of our book, Pastor's Wives Tell All, Navigating Real Church Life with Honesty and Humor. And guys, go out and get you a copy. You can find all the places where you can order on our website, pastorswivestellall.com/book. That's pastorswivestellall.com/book. Go get you one.
Get it.
Enjoy.
Okay, friends, if you have enjoyed this episode as much as we have, please help us spread the word on Facebook and Instagram.
If you didn't know yet, Instagram is where all the fun is at. From dance reels on Wednesdays to spiritual encouragement and laugh out loud posts in between, there is something for everyone.
And last but certainly not least, if you could take a moment right now to stop what you're doing and give us a rating and review, even subscribe to our podcast, this seriously helps other people find us who wouldn't be able to otherwise. Thank you so much for your love and support. We hope you'll tune in next week.